In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This past week, it seemed at every turn I was bombarded by contentious debate. As soon as one would adamantly put forth their position, another would counterpunch, declaring the opposite to be true. And then other voices still recounted what each side was saying and pointing to this true division. I'm not talking about the impeachment proceedings. I'm talking about biblical scholars tackling the scriptures designated for this fourth Sunday of Advent. First, we have Dr. Jean Rice from Howard University's Divinity School talking about the text from Isaiah, particularly verses 15 through 17, calling it a bundle of ambiguities that pose some of the most baffling problems of interpretation in the Bible. He went on to ask, do curdled milk and honey symbolize plenty and felicity, or want and adversity? Do good and evil refer to moral right and wrong, or to that which is pleasant or painful? Is the age at which one learns to reject evil and choose the good 1 year old, 12 years old, or 20 years old? Is the sign given to Ahaz one exclusively of threat, one exclusively of promise, or of both? And if of both, do they happen sequentially or concurrently? I'm sure this is a quandary you had as you were listening to that text just moments ago. And the next point of contention came as it relates to what we heard from Matthew's gospel. Dr. Paul Wegner, an Old Testament professor, wrote in his article that was entitled, How Many Virgin Births Are in the Bible? There is little doubt that Isaiah 7:14 and its reuse in Matthew 1:23 is one of the most difficult problems for modern biblical scholars. For centuries, attempts have been made to provide a clear rationale as to how Matthew can pick up this passage from Isaiah, which appears to have its own historical context, and apply it to Jesus. And sure enough, 100 years prior, Professor C.R. Brown pointed to that particular dilemma, saying that this passage from Isaiah wasn't talking about a prophecy that would happen 700 years later, but was a sign for that particular time that Ahaz had found himself in. The mother with child was right there in the midst of Ahaz and Isaiah. The birth of this child who was to represent God with them was imminent. The promise was fulfilled that although they would undergo hardship, that child represented God with them, with all the ambiguity and amid the hardship. And with all of this debate, I haven't yet even mentioned the virgin birth. Isaiah's young girl versus Matthew's virgin birth. The challenge of the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible with the inconclusive meaning of a couple of Hebrew words that I can't pronounce properly and you don't care about particularly. But one meaning a young girl that hasn't had a child yet, but is of marrying age, and the other of being truly a virgin. And finally, I came upon a voice I could relate to. It grasped my plight. An Old Testament professor and Lutheran pastor, Richard Klein, as he said, clearly it would be hard to sort all this out in a standard 12-minute sermon. Even if you used PowerPoint, assigned homework on the text the week before, and spoke with human and angelic voice. But it might be worth exploring in a sermon how the slogan, God is with us, can be good news or bad news, depending on whether God comes in grace or God comes in judgment. It is the rest of the story that makes the difference. I contend that the author of Matthew's gospel is providing the rest of the story. It's not a story about the baby Jesus. It's a story about Jesus, the Messiah. It's theologically constructed, not historically grounded. God's relationship begins with Israel. God is with them, and through Jesus, the Emmanuel, God continues to be with us. Matthew's gospel even ends with that same declaration in the Great Commission as the resurrected Jesus reminds those disciples, I am with you always. This is the good news. And yet, just as Isaiah's passage with Ahaz, the God with us, is complicated, there is grace. And then there's that part we don't like to think about too much, the judgment part. It's all there because Jesus invites us to live differently. Where the commandment said, you shall not murder, Jesus said, you shall not be angry with one another. How's that been working for you lately? When the Old Testament said, an eye for an eye, Jesus said, turn the other cheek, and went on to say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It's not always easy. And the good news is we don't have to do it alone. God is with us every day. And when we find ourselves challenged, I commend to you the 7th verse of the hymn we just sang. From O come, Emmanuel. O come, God is with us. It says, O come, desire of nations, bind in all, in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad divisions cease, and be thyself our King of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel, and to us. Amen.